A very good morning, brothers and sisters of Pantai Baptist Church. Good morning. It's my great honor and privilege to be here to share God's Word. This morning, I'm going to do an exposition and unpack Psalm 32. There are 11 verses, and the title of my message is called The Great Cover-Up. Let us join our hearts together to pray. Father Lord, thank you for gathering all your people, God's people and guests this morning, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we know that your sweet and holy presence is in our midst. May we enter into that presence, and may your Holy Spirit anoint my lips, and may your words that go forth touch the hearts of all your people and do the work of transformation in our lives, that we come before you to confess all our sins and ask for your forgiveness, that we may be righteous through Christ Jesus in our life. In Christ's precious name, we pray and ask, Amen. 3 months ago, the newspaper tell us that there was an Indian tourist, 48 years old lady from India. She was happily walking along the pavement in Jalan Masjid Kuala Lumpur, and lo and behold, under her feet, the pavement gave way, and there was a big sinkhole, and she sank into that sinkhole and disappeared forever. Nobody was able to recover her body. Sinkholes are very dangerous, and the geological department subsequently published a map that tells us that certain areas are more prone to sinkholes. Different areas have different risks of sinkhole. But brothers and sisters, the greatest sinkhole in the world is not the one that is found in the street. The greatest sinkhole in the world is the one that is found inside our human heart. And that is sin. Sin that can sink us in a big sinkhole. Psalm 32, which I will be unpacking, was written by King David as he reflect on the past sinkholes that he experienced in his heart. At that time, he remembered that his spiritual life was spiraling downwards into a very deep sinkhole, and it was reaching a point of no return. It all started very innocently in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. His army, his general and commander were in the battlefield fighting, and he was alone, doing nothing, walking around on the roof of his palace. They say that an idle mind is a devil workshop. Indeed, it was. For David, he was wandering without anything to do, and out of the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And then as a king, he invited the woman, Bathsheba, to come to the palace. There is nothing wrong. He is very innocent. And after talking to her, David slept with Bathsheba. She was envious of this beautiful woman, someone else's wife. So David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then Bathsheba became pregnant, and he wanted to cover up his sin, and so he sent for the husband, and he killed the husband by sending the husband to the battlefield. And then when the husband has died, David married Bathsheba. Brothers and sisters, there is no doubt, if you want to think of a person in the Bible that has committed so much sin, your mind will probably settle on King David. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And he stole someone else's wife. And he was envious of someone else's wife. Where can you find such a great sinner? But yet, brothers and sisters, 1,000 years later, in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, God testified concerning David, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." How can it be, brothers and sisters, an adulterer, a murderer, a thief, and God can yet call him a man after God's heart? And I checked the Bible. There are a few hundred characters in the Bible, and there was no one absolutely that God called that person a man after my own heart. Indeed, this is a great cover-up by God. God covered up all this big sin of David, and yet God loved him and called him a man after God's heart. And this morning, I'm going to unpack the 11 verses in Psalm 32 to explain to all of us why God was right. God said that David was a man after God's heart, and God was right. And this is found in Psalm 32, verse 1 to 11. Verse 1, if you can read together. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. You righteous, sing, all you who are upright in heart." I will summarize these 11 verses to 3 points. Number one, sins have consequences. Number two, when we sin, we need to confess our sin, and then God will cover up our sin. But what is sin? In the Bible, if you read, sin is mentioned in 4 different ways. And in this verse, in this passage, we find that there are 3 ways of labeling sin. Sin is the Greek word hamartia, which means that you miss the mark. Sin is described in an idiomatic expression, like an archery. God asks us to shoot the archery and live our life around the target. When we live our life outside of the target, we miss the mark and we sin. There is another idiomatic expression of sin, which is called trespass. Here it means that God draws a line. Inside the line is God's law. We are not to trespass, to cross over to the other side and break the law. So 1 John 3:4 says that everyone who sin break the law. And sin is actually lawlessness. Whether you sin and fall short of the glory of God, or you trespass or cross the line, we actually have left God's path and follow our path. Sin is being self-centered and not God-centered. But if you read the Bible, there is another 2 descriptions of sin, which is transgression. And this morning, the passage contained transgression 2 times, sin 4 times, iniquity 1 time. And what is transgression? Generally, it is believed that transgression is when you sin and trespass intentionally. Sin and trespass can be unintentional. David was on the roof of the palace. As he looked out, he saw this beautiful lady. He called the beautiful lady into his palace, and then he committed adultery. That was unintentional, not premeditated. But then, when he sent Uriah to the front line and have Uriah murdered, that is intentional, that is premeditated, that is deliberate, and we call that transgression. And worse still, after transgression, when Uriah died, David went ahead and married Bathsheba. And that is called iniquity. When you sin and don't repent, and you sinned and you don't repent, and you continuously sin and sin and sin and is unrepentant, the Bible called this iniquity. From sin and trespass, it descends and spiral down to transgression. And from transgression, it spiral down finally to iniquity. When you sin continuously and is unrepentant. And sins have consequences. If sin is confessed, the Bible tells us that sin is forgiven and also forgotten. God do not remember anymore. You are whiter than snow. And that is what Psalms 32 verse 1 say. Blessed is the one whose transgression are forgiven, whose sins are covered up by God. Blessed is the one whom the Lord does not count again. On the other hand, if any sin that is not confessed, it is not forgiven, and it is not forgotten. And verse 3 says that, when I kept silent, my bone wasted away through my daily groaning. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped away. And that is what it looks like, brothers and sisters. When we sin, we have to confess. And when we confess, our sin is forgiven and forgotten, and we will receive the blessing of God. On the other hand, when we commit sin, and we do not confess our sin, our sins are not forgotten, are not forgiven, and we enter into personal distress. And there are at least four consequences of sin that I can think of. I'm sure there are many. First consequence of sin is that there is guilt and shame. Guilt is a conscience that God has given to all of us. When we sin, when we do wrong, we feel bad. And shame is when we do wrong, when people know that we do wrong, then we feel shameful. And when we sin, there is guilt and shame inside us. And this sin will make us feel miserable, like as if we are descending into a sinkhole. And the sin will eat us up day by day like a malignant cancer. And that is why the Bible says, when you sin, you have this guilt and shame, your bones will waste away. You will groan day and night, and your strength will disappear. Brothers and sisters, that is the consequence of sin. And you know that if you have a good friend in the church, a very close friend for many years, and one day when you come to the church, and your friend, when you talk to your friend cannot look you in the eye. It may be because your friend has committed a sin against you. He has this guilt inside him that God has placed, and that is why he cannot look you in the eye, and the sin is slowly eating him up. The second consequence of sin is that we become separated from God. Be holy as I am holy. Our God is a holy God. When we commit sin, we become unholy, and an unholy person that is unclean will become separated from a clean God. And that is why Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. When you commit sin, you become separated from God. God's favor no longer rests on you. And then you lose the blessing of God, especially the blessing of peace and joy. Thirdly, sin can have the third consequences where we become separated from our loved one. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 8 says that a man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And many of us know that because of sin, family are destroyed, family are separated, and children are traumatized. And finally, fourthly, sin begets sin. Ephesians 4:19 says that they have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. When we commit a sin, we need another sin to cover up the first sin. And then when we commit the second sin, we need the third sin, another sin, to cover up the second sin. And these cycles goes on, and then we rationalize. We justify. Rationalize, I call it, actually is a rational lies. When you rationalize and give excuses and become defensive, you actually telling a rational lies. And your heart become hardened. And you become shameless. You heard of the slogan, tak malu. Have you heard of it? Tak malu. You come to a time when you sin continuously and your heart become hard and you become shameless. And the Bible tells us there has no sense of shame. And they tell everybody, saya tak malu. Like King David who tried to cover up his sin. In 2 Samuel 11:15, when David had a sexual relationship with Bathsheba, another man's wife, Bathsheba came back one day and said, I am pregnant. And so David is in a dilemma. He decided, instead of confessing to God, he decided to cover up the sin. And that's what most of us do. When we sin, we want to cover up so that nobody will know. But God knows. And so what did David do when Bathsheba was pregnant? David had an idea. He wanted to cover up the sin. So he tells Joab, his commander, Joab, can you please send Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, bring him back to the palace. I want to talk to him. And that is what David said to Uriah. Go down to your house. Wash your feet. Go back to your heart, to your wife, Bathsheba. But then Uriah was even better than David. He did not go back to his house and sleep with his wife. And when David found out, David asked him, why you don't want to sleep, go back to your home and sleep with your wife? Why are you sleeping outside my palace? Uriah said, My brothers who are fighting the Ammonites, our enemies, they are all in the battlefield. They are all sleeping in tents. How can I now sleep in my home and sleep with my wife? And so David was in a dilemma. And then he needed another cover-up. The first cover-up did not work. You need second cover-up, third cover-up, fourth cover-up, and he will spiral down. And the second cover-up was David told Joab, the commander of his army, Joab, send Uriah to the front line where the fighting is fiercest. And then withdraw your army so that Uriah will be killed. And Uriah was killed. And that was what happened. David covered up his sin one after another. But brothers and sisters, we know that you can cover up your sin, but God still can see your sin because the Lord is everywhere. And the Lord is keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Proverbs 15, verse 3. He who covers his sin will not prosper. We can try to cover up ourselves, our sin, a temporary cover. People may not know. People may not see. But God sees, and God withdraws his favor from you. And that is why whenever we sin, we know there are bad consequences of sin. And it's so important we must come before God and not cover our sin and confess our sin. And that is what David did. when the prophet of God, Nathan, approached and rebuked David, David did not rationalize anymore. David was not defensive like many of us. David did not want to give any more excuses. He just confessed his sin. He just repented there and then. And that is what Psalm 32 verse 5 says. David said, I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord and you forgave the guilt of my sin. When you confess to the Lord, your sin is forgiven and your guilt is forgiven and the guilt disappears. True repentance must always center on God and not on yourself. And that is why when Nathan confronted David, David confessed his sin by saying, I have sinned against the Lord. True repentance centers on God, because God is the one that determines the boundary. When you cross the boundary, you sin against the Lord. Not against Nathan, not against Bathsheba, not against Uriah. Sure, you committed sin against them. But more importantly, whenever we sin, we actually sin most to God. And that is why we need to confess and acknowledge our sin to God. And this must be followed up by godly sorrow. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Many people repent, but they don't repent in their heart. There is no godly sorrow. They just repent for show, for people to see. But deep inside them, they are not repentant in their heart. And true repentance must be in the heart, and also true repentance does not permit repetition. How do you know that a person has true repentance? If he doesn't repeat his sin again and again. And that is why repentance is the Greek word metanoia, which means that you change your mind. You change your mind, you make a U-turn from sin, and now you turn towards God, and you do not go back to sin again. So you do not repeat your sin, and that is true repentance. And that is what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. For David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commandments all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. So now we understand why God called David a man after God's heart. Because he acknowledged his sin, he asked for forgiveness, he repented, and he did not sin ever again. Fake repentance centers on self. And the Bible tells us, when King Saul sinned against God, when God told Saul that you are to kill your enemies, the Amalekites, you are to kill the men, the women, the children, the cattle, the sheep, the cow, and everything, that was God's command. But Saul did not follow God's command. God spared the king Agag. God spared the best of the cattle. Saul spared the best of the sheep, all for himself. And yet, when the prophet Samuel confronted and rebuked Saul, what did he say? Did he follow David? I have sinned against God? No. This was his reply in 1 Samuel 15:24. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command. I was afraid of the man. I gave it to them. I. And that is why King Saul, his repentance was fake and not genuine. Genuine repentance always focuses and centers on God, because God is the one that set the boundary, that set the limit. Every time we sin against God. And we must come before God and not rationalize, not give excuses. Just acknowledge your sin, confess your sin, ask for forgiveness, repent, and God will forgive your sin. Your sin will be forgotten and not remembered. And fake repentance also comes with empty words. And I think many of us are familiar. Many people come with empty words without any meaning. And Ephesians 5:6 says that, let no one deceive you with empty words. Empty words means they speak with their mouth words that are nice and true, but this is not in sync with their heart that is inside them. They actually want to deceive you, and they only pretend. And the Bible says that the true repentance must be a one with a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise. Our heart must be in sync with our mouth. And we must repent not with our mouth only. We must repent with our heart. And that is what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus' heart was broken and contrite. Jesus did not despise Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was on top of the tree. And Jesus knew that he was repentant. And Jesus called Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. And Zacchaeus repented immediately. Luke 19 verse 8. Zacchaeus said, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. This is true repentance. Firstly, Zacchaeus confessed of his sin, that I have cheated somebody. Secondly, he repented of his sin. He said, God, I no longer treasure money, I treasure you, and because I treasure you, I give half of my treasure to the poor. And finally, there was restitution of sin. There was payback of sin. And he said to Jesus, anyone I have cheated in my life, I'm going to give back four times. Brothers and sisters, a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. And finally, God will cover up our sin. We need to come before God to confess with a sincere heart. We must be faithful and turn to God quickly. Don't be stubborn. Don't delay. Let the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Don't cover up one sin after another and another. It becomes an iniquity. We must not behave like a horse or a mule. None of us here is a horse, isn't it? So we must not be like a horse or a mule who is stubborn. A horse needs to be controlled with a bit in his mouth and a bridle. God will not force us or control us. We must come before God to confess our sin volitionally, voluntarily, willingly. We must not behave like a horse. Adam and Eve behave like a horse. They were stubborn. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? When they sinned against God, they're supposed to come before God and confess and repent. They did not. They hide from God. When they sinned, Adam and Eve hide from God. And not only they hide from God, they cover themselves from God with leaves. And not only they cover themselves, they also give excuses. They blame each other. They rationalize. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned, and God knew, and God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? Because they were hiding. Where are you? They are hiding. I heard you are in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid from you. And then Adam said, that woman that you gave me, that woman gave me the fruit, and I ate it, you know. You know why I ate it? That woman, lah. And why that woman? You gave me one, lah. And then that woman, Eve turned around and said, the serpent you made and put in the garden deceived me and gave me the fruit, so I ate it, lah. So whose fault? Not Adam's fault. Not his fault, the serpent's fault. And then the serpent will point to another person. So brothers and sisters, when you sin, you must ask for forgiveness quickly. Don't cover up, because whenever you cover up and hide yourself, you will need to commit another sin to cover up the first sin. And then you need a third sin to cover up the second sin. And it is endless. It becomes an iniquity. You sin forever in your life. Don't be stubborn. Come before God. We are all like a violin string. On our own, we go astray and turn to our way. A violin string is made to remain fixed to a violin instrument. And the violin string must be hidden in the violin instrument in order for it to deliver a beautiful song. Jesus is the violin. We are just nothing but a string. On our own, we will go astray and commit sin. We must bound our life to Jesus all the time so that there is deliverance. And Jesus is our hiding place. He will protect us from trouble and surround us with songs of deliverance. Jesus will instruct us. Jesus will teach us. Jesus will counsel us. Not that we are perfect. Not we are sinless. Whenever we sin, we just come before God and ask God to forgive us. And that is why the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us of all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And it goes on in Isaiah 43, verse 25. God will blot out our transgressions. God will not remember our sins anymore. Once confessed, once acknowledged, once forgiven, it will be forgotten. We become a clean slate, whiter than snow. Don't cover your sin. Because God this morning, through His Word, has offered us that great cover for all our sin. And there is no sin that is greater than our God Jesus. God Jesus is greater than all our sins. Even David, the murderer, the adulterer, God has forgiven. What more else? We are not adulterers or murderers or thieves or robbers. Surely God will forgive us. And God used Christ to cover up all our sins. Hebrews 9:28, Christ was sacrificed 2,000 years ago on the cross once to take away once and for all the sins of many. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all our sins. There is no sin, brothers and sisters, that you have committed that God cannot forgive. God is greater than all your sins. And it is Jesus Christ that did the great cover-up. And therefore, Psalms 32 end with the last word, that we must rejoice in the Lord and be glad because we are righteous, not because of what we did, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. We are all righteous. We can sing, for we are upright in our heart and in our behavior. In short, brothers and sisters, a man is not godly because he does not commit any sin. A man is godly because every time he sins, he comes before God, confess and ask for forgiveness, and God forgive and forget his sin. Don't strive to be sinless. Strive to confess your sin. Christ will do the great cover-up. So don't try to cover up your sin. If we cover up our sin, God will reveal it one day. But if we reveal our sin to God, God will cover it up. God will forget and not remember our sin anymore. And that is what Christ did. I read this story. Christ did the great cover-up for this girl, young girl, 30 over years old. Her name is Carla. In 1983, She was involved in a burglary in the shop, and in the process, she murdered two people in the shop. She was arrested, imprisoned, and in prison, someone gave her the Bible. She surrendered her life to Lord Jesus. She admitted her guilt. She was sentenced to death. And then in 1998, she was executed with lethal poison. But before she died, she said the last word, "I am sorry to the family of the victims that I have murdered." And most importantly, she said, "I am going to see Jesus now because Jesus has covered my sin. The sin that I have committed, the murder that I have done, the bad things that I have done in my life, I have confessed. I have asked for forgiveness. God has forgiven my sin. God does not count my sin anymore. God has covered my sin once and for all. And now I can come before Jesus. When I die, I will be with Jesus right now when he died." In conclusion, brothers and sisters, Jesus is telling us this morning in Matthew 11:28. Jesus is telling us this morning the message of Psalm 32. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens of sin. For so many years in your life, you carry this burden of sin in the past. And you are weary and you are heavy laden and you are tired. Your energy is sapped. Life has not much meaning anymore. Jesus is here this morning. And he said that you come to me, confess your sin, and I will give you the rest. The rest with God and rest with the people you have committed sin. Unconfessed sin are unforgiven sin. Come to Jesus, confess and repent of all your sins. Jesus is willing and able to cover up all your sins and set you free once and for all." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you have done on the cross. That the blood you have shed was for the forgiveness of all our sins that we have committed in the past, present, and future. Lord, we do want to be stubborn. We want to come before you quickly before the sin spiral our spiritual life downwards into the sinkhole and we are lost forever. Lord Jesus, you can see into our past. You can see into our heart, into our life. Jesus, we know that you speak to some of us this morning through Psalm 32. And if you are that person that Jesus is speaking to, will you raise your hand? Because Jesus loves you. And Jesus is the promise keeper. He will keep his promise to forgive all your sins. Whether small or big, you are weary. You've been carrying this heavy burden all these years. Will you lift up your hands as a sign that you acknowledge that you have sinned against God? That today you want to be set free by the blood of Jesus. Today, you want to confess your sin. Today, you want the blood of Jesus to cleanse your sin completely and that God will not remember your sin anymore. Will you raise your hand? And Jesus wants to set you free once and for all. It is between you and Jesus this morning. Don't be shy. Will you raise your hand? This is an opportunity for you to be set free. Lord Jesus, you can see into our heart what has happened in the past. May you forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we are righteous because of what you have done on the cross 2,000 years ago. Lord, we pray that your presence will be with us. And every time that we sin, we sin against you, and that we want to come before you and ask for your forgiveness, and we want to repent, and when appropriate, we will also do restitution for the sin that we have committed. We thank you for what you have done for us, the whole world 2,000 years ago. In Christ's precious name, we pray and ask. Amen.